Who we are in Christ is what I've been looking at. Who we are in Christ. And it had part one all the way down to part 10. And tonight, part 10 is what we're going to be looking at. And that'll close this whole big message down. So I hope that you've enjoyed it. It'll still be different for everybody that's here because this is going to be the last one. Now, what I've been doing is who we are in Christ. And this is Who We Are in Christ, part 10. And what I did is I give you five different sentences that describes who we are in Christ. That's what I've been doing all this time. And let me go ahead and give you tonight's, and this will be the last message on this series. Number one, we are reserved. We are reserved. And if you want, let me give you the verses for that. It'd be 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. We are reserved. This is the second one. This will be B. We are never going to perish. We are never going to perish, nor be plucked out of His hand. And that's John 10 and the verse 28. Number three, we are worshipers. We are worshipers. Let me put another one in there. We are true worshipers. We are true worshipers. And that's John chapter 4, 23 and 24. And then this is D, we are greatly loved. And that's First John 4 and the verse 10. And then here's the fifth one, and this will close us out once we get through all of it. We are written in the book. Amen. We are written in the book, and that's Luke chapter 20. Now, if you miss any of those and you got a computer, you can go online and get them, and you can read all the other ones that we have on there. We got 45. Well, we'll have 50 of them on there, so be sure to listen to them too, okay? All right, so let's go ahead and get into this evening. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Good to have you here in the house of the Lord this evening. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the first one that we're going to look at, and I'm going to give you the text with it, is what I'm going to do. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's look at verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy. Are you thankful for the God's abundant mercy? You know what mercy is, don't you? It's getting what you don't deserve. If I got what I deserved, I'd slide right into hell. But God gave me abundant mercy. And I want you to know something. I'm thankful for it. Amen. I'm forever grateful for the mercy that the Lord has bestowed upon us. We deserved hell, but God gave us mercy. He's a merciful God. And I tell you, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. There's mercy for you if you desire it. There's mercy for you. And He can wash you clean, give you everlasting life, and give you a home in the Father's house. I'm thankful tonight that I have abundant mercy. And everyone here tonight, I believe, probably everyone here tonight's born again. But if you're not, you need mercy. You need mercy. And the only place you can get that is from the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll give you abundant mercy and will save your soul. And will save your soul. So, we are reserved. Let's read on down a little bit. I like this text in 3, 4, and 5, so I love to preach it. Preachers get a lot of text that they really like, and man, when you get one that you really, really like, sometimes you can linger a bit. I'm going to try not to do that. We are reserved. Look what it says, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a what? A lively or a living hope. And remember, the word hope in Scripture is a confident expectation. It doesn't mean there's I hope Polka wins the ball game. That's not what it means. It's a confident expectation. That's the meaning of it. He has given us abundant mercy, hath begotten us again to what kind of hope? It's a living hope. We got good hope, don't we? Our radio broadcast is called Good Hope Through Grace. And Lord has given us that good hope. You know, without Jesus, we'd have no hope at all, would we? We wouldn't have a thing in the world to look forward to but hell. But because of Jesus now, what do we got? We got an inheritance. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance. We got an inheritance. And you know where that inheritance is at, don't you? We got an inheritance in glory. We got a home in the Father's house. What an inheritance. Isn't that a great inheritance for us to have? What a wonderful inheritance He's given to us. To an inheritance, it's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fades not. Listen to it. It fades not away. It fades not away. And listen, what else? It's reserved. Hey, it's reserved in heaven for you. I like them reserved seats, don't you? A reserved seat is a guaranteed seat. And who gave us that guaranteed seat? The Lord did. I think that's a wonderful thing that He's done for us. We got a reserved seat. Now watch this now. To an inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible, undefiled, it fades not away. Now where's this inheritance at? Verse 4. Does everybody see it in verse 4? It says it's reserved in heaven for you. You got a reservation there, see? What a wonderful thing that is. And then that should cause you to get up a little bit, because it's a wonderful thing to have a reservation in glory. Nothing greater than that. Now, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Who are kept? Everybody say kept. Yeah. We're kept. We are kept by the power of God. That's a wonderful thing. God's your keeper. God not only saved your soul, but He also is your keeper also. He keeps you. God will whip you too. You get out here and get where you're not supposed to be, and you know, truly know the Lord, He'll correct you. He'll take you, I like to say, He'll take you to the woodshed. I've seen that happen before to people. I remember talking to one time, and he said, "Boy, I tell you, the Lord just took me to the woodshed. And I knowed I needed to get back straight." But you know the good thing about that? That's an evidence that you're born again. If you can do things like that and never bothers you, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. If you say you're born again and sin don't have no effect upon you, there's something wrong with it. I'm telling you. So it's very important that you see that we're kept by the power. We're kept by the power of God. We're not kept by the power of Jeff. You're kept by the power of God. He keeps you. Ain't it wonderful to know that He's your keeper? You couldn't have a sure salvation without Him being your keeper. It couldn't be sure. If it totally depended on you, you'd lose it. But you're kept by the power of God. And God is omnipotent. You know what that means, don't you? That means He can keep you. When He saves you, He keeps you. All God's people say it. I like it. I just think it's true, and I think it's just as plain as can be right here in this text. I don't know what you could do with it, that text right there. I love that text. So we are reserved. We have a reserved seat in glory. I don't know when the Lord's going to come, and I don't know when I'm going to die either. or if I'll die. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm satisfied. I know that I'm saved, and I don't worry about hell. I don't worry about death. I just think God's got it all. So I don't worry about all these things a lot of folks worry about. I don't. God's got it. God watches over his people. Romans 8 says, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So what a wonderful salvation that we have in him. All right, so we are reserved. We are reserved. And we're kept by the power of God. That is a wonderful thing. And be a good one just to preach on that. And I have done that before. But you're kept by his power through faith and to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last what? In the last time. We're in the last times. We have been in the last times for the past 2,000 years. The scripture says he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. It's 2,000 years ago. So, beloved, we're in the latter stages of the last days. Yeah, there ain't no doubt about that. There ain't no doubt about that at all. And the most important thing is to be ready for that. Beloved, the Lord could step out tonight. He could come tonight. We think if we get to thinking about this, man, it's been, 6,000 years since creation came back in the book of Genesis. Oh, my. We're in the last days. And the scriptures is the one that tells us we're in their last days. As in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So we have a reserved seat. Now let's go to John chapter 10. I got to give you these quick. So, no, I don't have to, but I'll go to the Lord's done with me. Let's do it like that. John chapter 10. We're closing out this series on who we are in Christ. And the first truth we looked at was we are reserved. We are reserved. And Lord has given us a reservation. When he saved your soul, he gave you a reservation. And that reservation is an inheritance in heaven. All God's people said. That's the greatest thing you can have. All right, now let's move down to number two. And who we are statement that I'm going to give you is we are never going to perish. We are never, this is if you're born again, if you've trusted Jesus, we are never going to perish. Notice what it says in John chapter 10. And mark these verses, if you mark in your Bible, some do, some don't. I mark all over mine. I can find it. And I mark them in there so I can find it. But here in John chapter 10, it talks about his sheep. And are we sheep? We're sheep. He says in verse 26, but ye believe not. He's talking to this group of Jews that wanted Jesus arrested. And here's what Jesus says to them. He says, but ye believe not. He's talking to the unbelieving Jews here. Boy, he gives them some pretty good things to think about. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. That's what he told them. He told these unbelieving Jews, these religious fanatics, what did he do to them? What did he do? He says here, let me go back and read it again, but ye believe not because you're not of my what? not my sheep. Now that's a frightening thing. I mean, they should have been shaken in their shoes. I don't know you. You're not my sheep. That's a frightening thing. These were religious people. Not true, but they were not true religious people, but they didn't trust Jesus. It comes down to that. They didn't trust the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Okay? Let's look back at John 10 now, verse 28. Now, beloved, John 10, 28, who spoke it? Well, the Lord spoke the whole book, really. You know what I mean? He wrote the whole book, really. But I want you to think a little bit about eternal life right now. I want you to think a little bit about salvation. And I want you to look at John 10, 28 is another great text that you need to write down and look at it. And it talks about the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And that salvation is eternal. It's eternal life. I tell it over and over and again to folks. I say it's eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's not just for a while. It's forever. And you know how come it can be forever? Because you're kept by the power of God. God's your keeper. God's your keeper. You get out here and get out of line, He'll take you to the woodshed and correct you. But beloved, I want you to know, He'll keep you. He'll keep you. And if you need it, He'll take you to the woodshed. Like I said, let me read verse 28. He said, I give unto them. Now, what are you supposed to do with this? I give unto them, that's His sheep, I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. They're never going to perish. Why is that? Let's read on. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Whose hand are you in? Yeah. He's your keeper. That's the picture here in the text. I give unto them, how long's eternal life? It's forever life. It's not temporary. It's forever. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never do what? They're not ever going to perish. They're not going to perish in hell. At the end of their days, they'll go to glory. It's not going to happen. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any. That's Satan, hell, and all of its angels can pluck you out of my hand. All God's people say it. I like it. So, we are reserved. And number two, we are never going to perish. 1 Peter 1, 5, if you want to, I think I've done quoted it, but I'm going to quote it again. 1 Peter 1, 5 talks about our inheritance that we have with Christ. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5 has got the same kind of text that we've looked at in the earlier passages, okay? Matter of fact, we looked at it. It was one of our first ones we looked at. All right, let's go to number three. Number three. I only got one, two, three more, and this study will come to an end. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it's been a blessing to you. You need to know what you got. Y'all agree? You need to know what you got. Man, it's great having this salvation that we have. So, number three, let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 23. And John 4 and verse 23 talks about true worshipers. Now, if he's talking about true worshipers, there's also false worshipers. You have to have both of them. There's two types. But what kind of worshipers do we want to be? We want to be true worshipers. We want to have the truth of the Scriptures and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. You got to have the combination of both of those. Spirit and truth. Okay? All right, John 4, verse 23 says, "But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers," here's the term true worshiper we just talked about, "the true worshiper shall worship the Father," how? "In spirit and in truth." The Holy Spirit helps you worship, doesn't He? You know, before I come to church, what I do? I talk to the Lord, and I said, "Holy Spirit, open my heart to that I may be able to preach in such a way that the people will understand what I'm saying. Bless the people here so that they can have an understanding mind," and all of these kinds of things. I think it's important that God's people do that. I think it takes a little preparation. I think it takes preparation for you to be able to really get into a church service. I think you have to do a little, a little thinking about it. I've told this as an illustration before. It's a goofy one, but you'll remember it. My old football coach used to say, he would come in and he didn't allow us to talk on the bus. If you went a million miles away, you never talked on the bus. I never did figure out why that is. And then we had about 40 or 50 boys on that bus. About 40 or 50, every bit of it. Well, when we'd get on that bus, and if we'd make too much noise, you know what it did, don't you? Oh, my. He said, "Boys, I'll put you off this bus and leave you right there where you're at. It won't take you to the ball game." It used to scare us to death. But, beloved, what's the important thing is in this about true worship, it has to be in spirit and in truth, which means it has to be real. And that's what I was getting at. We have to be real. And what we have to do is think about what we're getting ready to do. That's what old Coach Darby used to do. He'd come in and he said, "Boys, I want you to shut your mouth and think about what you're getting ready to do." That's what he said. "I want you to shut your mouth and think about what you're getting ready to do. I want you to think about your assignments and all those things." Well, if it's important to think about what you're getting ready to do at a football game, don't you think it's a whole lot more important to prepare yourself for worship when you come? Amen. Seriously. You got to prepare yourself. You know usually who gets the most, now don't get mad at me, but you know usually who gets the most out of a church service? Preacher. Really? You know why? I've studied 5 or 6 hours before I got here. I spend a lot of time in the Scriptures before I got here. I've walked 2 or 3 times out Plymouth by the time I got here and prayed and had my... So when I come in that back door, I'm ready to roll. Yeah, you got to set your mind right. Now, if we had to do it to Hector for a football game to get her mind straight, how much greater is it to get your mind set for when you worship God? For when you worship God, you got to get your mind set for it. Spend a little time thinking about, here's what we used to say. Think about what you, Neil, you remember it? Think about what you're getting ready to do. That's what he said. What's more important to do than worship our God? All God's people say it. Do it every day. When we come to worship, we come prepared, ready to go. And that'll change things. That changes things. It makes the worship better. Makes it better. Number four, let's go to Ephesians 2 now. Ephesians 2. Y'all got me all excited now. You really do. Got a good crowd tonight. We used to, this was a big crowd for us now. That tickles me. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 4. Ephesians 2 and the verse 4. Notice what it says. Verse 4. But God, this is Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in what again? There's mercy. He's rich in mercy. It's Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love. Did the Lord love you with a great love? Amen. This is what I'm after in verse 4. Here's what I want y'all to see, saints. God loves you. He's rich in mercy, but he also loves you with a great love. Amen. Rich in mercy. There's enough mercy there to cover your sin too, right? Amen. He's rich in mercy, and he loved us with a great love. I can't explain that to you why he loved me so much, but he did. I know I didn't deserve it. I know I didn't merit it. But God bestowed his grace, mercy, and love upon an old sinner like Jeff Arthur. And I'm forever grateful for that. And one of the reasons why I serve him is you can't pay him back. It's too big. It's too big. But we serve him. And we serve him. We sing a song here. I will serve thee because I love thee. And that's the greatest thing a saint of God can do for their master. Love him. Serve him. Please him. All God's people say it. Very important. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have. How long is everlasting life? Is that 6 months?
Forever.
It's forever life. It's forever life. That's what it is. And it's important that you know that. All right, I just got one more. I got one more, and then I'll quit. And this will be my fifth one. And this will close this 50-point sermon down. I think we've been in, I don't know how long we've been in it, but it's been a good bit of time. But this will close it out. Romans chapter 8. And the verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. This is where I get this text from. Romans 8 and verse 37. I will go ahead and start at 33 and then work my way down to 39 and we'll close. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's what? Which means what? Chosen. Who shall lay anything to their charge? Nothing can be laid to their charge because the Lord paid for their sin. Nothing can be laid to their charge. It is God that justifies. Aren't you glad God justified you? Declared you righteous. Charged his 100% righteousness to you and charged 100% of your sin to him. I don't know why he done that for us, but that's what he did. I wasn't worth it, and neither was you. But that's what he did. He took 100% of my sin and charged it to Jesus. That's why when you go into the book of Revelations, That white robe the saints have on, that's the white robe of His righteousness. And that's Christ's righteousness. And that's a wonderful thing. All right. Who is he that condemneth? Verse 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. I'm not going to touch that. That's a good preaching text there. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of God or love of Christ? Shall tribulation? It's giving you a list of things that separate people. But here's what he's showing you. Watch it now. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation do it? Distress do it? Persecution do it? Will famine do it? Will nakedness do it? Peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Not just conquerors. It says more than conquerors. All right. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come. So he gives you a list of things in verse 37 and 38. Wonderful text. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now, are you ready? And I'm going to close with this. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able. Everybody say, shall be able. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, God's people said. This great text opens in Romans 8:1. It says, there's no condemnation. 8:1, no condemnation. And then when you get down to verse 39, the last part of the chapter, no condemnation. And then when you come to verse 39, it says, and no separation. No condemnation, no separation. Oh, God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you. Thank you so much.